Disciples of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the heir of all things. All things were created for Jesus. When Christ returns, all creation will be given to him. And as our mediator, he makes us co-heirs and will share all things with us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wait till you hear this brilliant thought. This is Wretched Radio. Just dawned on me during the break. There's no need for a third temple because the former temple, it prefigured the one who tabernacled among us. Therefore, there is no need. Why are you laughing at me?
That is a brilliant thought.
That was Jimmy's thought.
I was going to let you take credit.
But you didn't. But you didn't. The temple has fulfilled its role. It pointed to Jesus. Now, you know who the temple is? You know who the third temple is? You. Me, anybody who's a believer, because God resides in his people. We are the tabernacle of God. That is why when we assemble together on a Sunday morning, oh, it's a beautiful thing, because that's what the temple was considered, Jerusalem. And the temple, the most beautiful place in the world. Well, now the temple is gone, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't dwell in temples. You and I are the temples of God. And when we assemble together as little mini temples, and to make a bigger temple, it is a denser manifestation of God's presence on this planet. And we are doing the most amazing, beautiful thing that we can possibly do when we gather together, which is why you need to be in a church as a member and not watching church online. Please send your thoughts. Maybe not going to be as brilliant as mine just was. Idea at wretched.org. Don't forget the old texter machine, 877-282-2337.
Standard text messaging rate supply. All right, this is from Anonymous. It is a text. Asks, Todd, my wife and I, who have been married for nearly 7 years, have just realized that we disagree on if women should be or can be pastors. How can we come to an understanding as a couple if we don't agree on this?
This just came out, or somebody changed their position?
That's how it's worded.
Okay. This might not hit the bullseye. Was it a fellow? Anonymous?
It was an anonymous guy, yeah.
But it was a guy. Okay, sir, if I missed the mark on this, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to work with what we've got here. Those are the conversations that should be had before marriage. I don't know if you did it or not, but really, you do want to work through those things. It just sort it before you say, I do. Have theological where are you at with tithing? Where are you at with communion, baptism, gifts, cessationism, continuationism? How often do you think we should be gathering? Sunday night, you cool with that? Going to church Sunday night? Why not? What about Wednesday night? You don't like going to Bible study? You want to have as many of those conversations as you possibly can before you get married, because dealing with them when you are, it can be very, very difficult. This has caused an awful lot of trouble. It's not that you're necessarily unequally yoked, but if you're off on something that's practical, that really impacts where you go to church, that's a big deal. Now, back to you, Mr. Ananimu. What do you do about this? I would say that you need to keep going to a Bible teaching church. Would I argue and fight with my wife about this? Nope. Don't think I would. Don't let it be a source of acrimony. But it is your role, though, like it is for both parties, to teach and to instruct patiently, lovingly, keep exposing her to good Bible preaching. And then on occasion, of course, sneak in a little sermon from Paul Washer on 1 Timothy 2:12, and that will be resolved. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is an email from Joe who asks, Todd, if someone breaks into my home and holds a gun to my friend's head, demanding that I deny Christ or else they will kill my friend, What should I do? I don't want to deny Christ, but I also don't want to want my friend to die because of my choice.
Wait, I would make a correction on that. Your friend isn't dying from your choice. Your friend is dying because somebody is doing something wicked, evil, and unjust. So I would, look, I'm not saying that's the definitive answer to the question, but you're not the one responsible for the death. You are being put into an unjust situation. So you're not the one. If they weren't making that request, you wouldn't shoot your friend. So take that off of the table, but that doesn't really answer the question. So in comes somebody, they're gonna shoot my, deny your faith, or I shoot your buddy in the head. Is that basically the scenario that we got here, Jimmy?
Yes.
Okay. What would you do? Well, here's a question for you. How do you understand lying? The conversation about truth-telling has been one that we bandied about for years in evangelicalism. The position that I hold on lying is a Christian can never lie, ever. But when somebody makes an unjust request, we have biblical models and patterns, the Egyptian midwives, Rahab, that if somebody is wishing to do harm to another, this is the Corey Ten Boom conundrum. You're hiding Jewish people in your attic and the Nazis are at the door. Do you have any Jews in your attic? You know what they're there to do. Slaughter them. It is not a lie to respond to an unjust question. And so if somebody makes an unjust threat, in order to save their lives, this is not pragmatism. This is being courageous. The Lord knows you're not denying him. Sees the circumstances too. So would I say that you would actually be denying the Lord by accommodating their unjust request for the sake of saving a person? I know it's a bit of a philosophical question, but I just don't think that you would be sinning. I don't think that you would be sinning. And by the way, let's just say somebody does disagree with me, and well, that's never happened before, but if it did in this instance, let's just say somebody disagreed and you said, I won't do that. Pull the trigger. Go ahead. That isn't on you. That would still be on the murderer. Jimmy, I think we found somebody who doesn't agree with me.
Who?
You.
No, I don't necessarily disagree. Okay. But it just raises questions in my head.
Well, there's lots of them on this.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this, but, you know, if I go all the way back to, you know, I don't want to be super spiritual here, but if someone is coming and say they're going to kill my friend, shoot my friend in the head if I don't deny Christ, well, if my friend is going to die, God's already determined that my friend is going to die. This is the means by which he's going to use for my friend to die.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wicked, unjust scenario.
Right.
And I don't think that falling back on sovereignty would give me the direction and the ability to just say, well, apparently God's orchestrating this. Well, you still have human agency. Hold on. Let's go back in church time when this actually did happen on a much more personal level. You deny Jesus or you going to die. And there were people who did. And the church then had to wrestle with, once the persecution lifted, they had to determine, what do we do with these people who denied the Lord? And I know that there were varying opinions about it, but I think it is fair to state, in general, the response was deal kindly with those people. It's a really nasty scenario. And it's somebody trying to save their own hide, making that claim, it doesn't mean that they're not a Christian. It could have been terror. If you even believe that it was a sin, okay. But that doesn't mean somebody wouldn't be saved. So I still, if we're going to deal with our precise scenario here, make it more personal. What if it's more than a friend? It's your wife, your kids, and somebody is, it is so unjust. It is so vile that I just don't know that I'd be willing to say you'd be sinning by just making it, because you're not denying him. You're just saying some stupid words because somebody's got a gun to a loved one's head. Please send your thoughts on this subject, 877-282-BEEP, or, 877-282-2337.
That's it.
Idea at standard text rates might apply .org.
Todd, what is your approach? This is from Rob. I think I know the answer to this, but what's your approach to effectively witnessing to atheists online?
But it's same as anybody. It's fine to study different worldviews. It can be helpful. I grant you that. It's nice to know. Oh, you're a Sikh. I understand where you're coming from. Yep, I get that practice. But you don't need to know that. What you need to know is the law and the gospel. Jesus died on a cross, rose from the dead, repentance and faith. You need to know your message, not their belief. You need to know your faith, not theirs. You don't need to understand their holy book. Phew, we get the point already. So study the gospel. Be prepared to open up the law to bring about the knowledge of sin. Scare them. Let the law scare them because they should be afraid. And then tell them about Jesus, who's willing to save even an atheist. This is Wretched Radio.
You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down, you just can't put it into words. The reasons go deeper than most of us were ever even shown. Skeptics know that too. That's why they start in Genesis and then they work backward. Because if you crack the foundation, then everything built on top of it will start to wobble. But when you trace the logic and the morality and the science all the way down, you find the very same thing every single time. Reality only makes sense if the Bible is true. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus with new episodes dropping every week. Download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom. And that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let's be honest. Most Christian TV makes you want to change the channel. It's either so watered down it says nothing, or so weird you're embarrassed someone might walk in while you're watching it. Wretched TV is neither. Hosted by Todd Friel, you get teaching that makes sense, cultural commentary that doesn't tiptoe around the hard stuff, and theology you can actually understand and apply. And hey, here's a bonus. No one's ever going to ask you to put your hands on the screen. Then there's Witness Wednesday. You can see Todd out in the streets talking to actual people about the gospel. This is not scripted at all. You're going to hear the real responses from real people, whether they like what Todd is saying or not. It'll challenge you, and it might make you a little uncomfortable in the best possible way. Wretched TV, it's available right now on Fortis Plus for free on your smartphone, on your tablet, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Download the app and see what you've been missing.
Attributes of God. What does it mean to say God is righteous? He is the standard of what is right and good. He is in strict adherence to his moral law, and he is the source of righteousness through Jesus Christ for every sinner who repents and puts their trust in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to the Jimmy Hicks program. My name's Todd. Jimmy does whatever he wants. This is Jimmy. You pick the questions.
Yeah.
Don't ask me during the break if I want to. Just pick whatever it is that you think might have the most value for the most amount of people.
Okay, so the question that you just answered about from Rob.
Oh, we're going to talk about that again?
where he's asking about effectively witnessing to atheists online. The other part of the question that we didn't get to was, do you think online witnessing isn't worth it compared to in-person?
No, I think online can be an effective way to win. People get saved online. People get saved watching videos. People get saved listening to messages. People have been saved through communication. So if you happen to be, by the way, this should be an encouragement to you. If you're somebody who struggles with the face-to-face business, but you're good at presenting the law, the gospel, repentance, faith, you know apologetics, witness online. It's just a different form of communication. I love face-to-face because you get to see the person, you get body language cues. Well, you're going to have to pick those up based on what they're writing, unless you can see them. But I think it's a perfectly viable medium for people to use in order to share the gospel. A lot of people have been saved online. So if that's your bag, I say, keep on keeping on. Are we done with that now, Jimmy?
We are. You ready to move on?
It's up to you.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Because I'm a giver.
Thank you, Todd. All right. This one's from William, and he really wants an answer to this question because he spent a lot of money sending this text in. He says, given the one flesh nature of marriage, do you think it's appropriate to always study scripture with your wife, or is individual personal study still important?
Sure. Yes, they are both. And what don't forget about corporate, they're all important. You figure out the balance. I think that it's excellent to make sure that you do have alone time with the Lord, where you're reading the Bible, you're praying, but also with your spouse, with your kids, with the neighbors, with your church. It's consuming the word, the configuration. You wouldn't want to put a hierarchy on which one is most important. They're all good. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Corey. Todd, I came across someone advocating for conservative Christians to join liberal mainland Protestant churches to try to make them more conservative again. Mm. My question is twofold. When a church goes liberal, should conservatives stay or split? And two, is there merit joining liberal churches to try and steer them back to conservatism?
I think the rule is our job is to be in a Bible-based church and serve. Our job isn't to be in a wonky church and save it. Now, you might be in one of those churches. And if you have any access to authority, you're in a position of power, and you believe that you've got a reasonable shot at affecting change, then you stay there and you try to get that church that's going wonky back on track. That's a good thing. But to go look for one, I don't think that's our calling. I don't think that's the mandate. Find a good church and serve and help make it even better. Jimmy, that was the first part. What do we do if we're in a liberal church or a good church and it's going liberal?
Yeah, when a good church goes liberal, should conservatives stay or split?
Only I did answer it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty impressed with myself right now.
I think it's hard. I honestly see this a lot where you just don't know what happened to your church. You've been at a church your whole life, and then all of a sudden, you know, you have a new pastor who's been there for 3 or 4 years and it just goes crazy. What do you do? Where's my church?
Do I smell the purpose-driven church?
That's right.
Is that what that is that's wafting out of our pastor's office? Yeah, some of that stuff can get in there. And I think Phil Johnson is the one who shared this initially that I heard. If you're not even a member, okay, you need to go find a good church and become a member. If you are in any sort of position where you can actually have an influence, you could consider staying. But if you don't, you're just going to church, not plugged in, you're not teaching, serving as a deacon or an elder. It's just you're not gonna move the needle. And you're gonna just have to find, I think, a better home. But you can stay for as long as you can if you believe, you know what, there's a shot at it here. And when this happens, by the way, which happens all too often, I gotta tell you, I really ache for the people. I've talked to people. My grandparents started this church. And then my parents, and we've just dedicated and all the cousins and then all of a sudden they're playing Stephen Furtick videos. What happened here? It's a heartache. 1-877-282 2337.
This one is from Mike. Todd, it seems I will remain single due to consistently being rejected. So my question is, how can I remove my desire for marriage?
Who says, well, why do you have to do that? And how do you know that you're always going to be rejected? And by the way, that is, I get that now. I understand because it's swipe, 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 swipe. Nope, 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 nope. Or you reach out once, it doesn't strike the right note. Perfectly swipe. You're next. Dump. Rejected. Okay. I understand that, but that does not mean that that will happen forever. People still get married, and it is just fine for you to desire marriage. Keep petitioning God, and then I would encourage you to consider, is there anything about me that could use some fixing? And you could use this as an opportunity for growth. So why are you being rejected? What's the issue? What's the deal? Is it for a righteous reason? Then you can live with that, can't you? They just think I'm too Christian. Okay, well, you're not. Now, could it be, though, that you're maybe too aggressive with it? Sure. Could it be that your timing is off? Mm-hmm. Could it be that maybe you're coming across a little geeky? It's a possibility. Let your friends help you and use it as an opportunity to improve. And while you're waiting, become conformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. And even if the Lord doesn't provide you with a spouse, wow. Look at the fruit that was born from that. Having said that, I would now like to commit to fulfilling a commitment that I've made to people who have rightly critiqued, hey, all you guys do is talk about marriage. What about singles? You're right. We should. And this is one, though, that I think it always requires just a little bit of, not nuancing, but caveating. Can you turn that into a gerund? The caveat would be the more regular pattern, because I don't want to say normal, because it's not abnormal to be single, like you're some sort of a freak show. So I'm trying to parse my words rightly here. I think most folks, they end up getting married. But having said that, if you don't and you remain single, oh, well, praise God for that. Then I believe you have the gift of singleness. You say, but I still burn. That I don't think that's the gift of singleness. I think the gift of singleness is while you're single, it's a gift because you can serve the church more. When you get married, then you serve your family more. So wait where you are. If the desires of your heart are to be married, it is just fine to ask the Lord to send you a godly spouse. And if he doesn't, relish your singleness. 1-877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I just heard about your demonetization on YouTube. Do you think we're coming full circle with speech and that the only place speech will be free will be out in the open air?
Yeah. I hope not, but it sure could be. What was the one that I was just reading? That who is it that wants to start controlling? It's like some Democratic deal. They want to control. Oh, is it Kamala Harris? We want to make sure that we have the ability to censor any content that we do not think is appropriate for America.
Yeah, that was Kamala.
These Republicans, they want to stifle speech. What? What are you kidding me? Oh, man, Scylla, the gaslighting that is going on. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not real sure the open air is going to be is even going to be safe because, no. I mean, even over there, over in the UK, they're
already,
you silently pray and get arrested.
Yep. That's why we want to burn our candle brightly while we can. So if you have the ability to witness, get on it while it's still legal because it might not be. For very long. And that's why we're working like crazy around here to just reach as many people as we possibly can through as many venues as we possibly can. We're trying to be wise as serpents with the YouTube and the Facebook thing. We've kind of found our path on that. I'm trying to remember the latest one where they said, we just showed, oh, wait a second. I know what it was. I had mentioned what I quoted the President of the United States when he said that he saw pictures of babies beheaded by Hamas. And you can't say that. I've actually got screen grabs of the president saying that in multiple YouTube videos. Preach the gospel while there is time. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.